It's time for John Paul, the car doctor, on North Shore 1049. Call today with your car questions, comments, or concerns. 1-800-370-1049. That's 1-800-370-1049. John Paul, the car doctor.
Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to the very first Saturday of 2021. I hope your New Year's Eve and New Year's Day was quiet and sort of uneventful, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe eventful. I don't know what the right terminology is these days with everything that's going on in the world. Hopefully you're joining 2021 with a fight with some new energy, and you're ready to go, and you know can't wait to go to work on Monday morning. Biff, is that the case with you?
Oh,
can't
yeah.
wait to go to work?
Can't wait.
Yeah?
Just can't wait.
Can't wait. You know, first working day for 2021 for a lot of people is Monday morning, and, you know, go there with, you know, a whole different attitude.
Jumping right out of my socks here, John.
Yeah, me as well. Me as well, yeah. So that's what's going on. Hopefully you're somewhere where you're inside and it's comfortable, and it's raining where I am, but it's the beginning of a new year, beginning of a new time, new chapter and everything, and that's about as philosophical as I get. Biff, you can add any more philosophy to that if you want.
I'm not sure we want to go down that road.
Yeah, all right.
No.
Good. All right.
But happy new year to you, John.
Well, thank you very much. We got a great show planned for today. We have a fellow NEMPA member, Zane Merva, on the phone with us, and Zane runs a forum, gm-trucks.com. I think the most well-traveled GM truck forum in the world. Zane, good morning, and welcome back to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning, John. How you doing today? Thanks for having me on.
Sure. And so is gm-trucks.com the most visited GM truck website in the world?
Well, I like to think so. We've been doing it for 20 years. We just hit our 20th anniversary for the site. And although we kind of started as a forum, we are an online enthusiast resource is what we like to think of ourselves. We have new product reviews, new car reviews, industry news, articles about new GM products coming out, and insight into like electric trucks and new trends in the industry. And then we have our online forums that helps owners connect with other owners and enthusiasts to figure out any troubles or problems or tips and tricks they may have about owning their GM truck.
And that's pretty amazing that and whether it's, you know, a GM, you know, truck forum or a, you know, Honda Odyssey forum, it really doesn't make any difference. But how, once you're involved with those, how much information you can glean from other people who have either they're in the same boat as you, they've already made the mistake that you're maybe thinking about doing, and kind of will steer you in the right direction. It's amazing how people on forums can work together to try to help each other.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, whether you own a GM truck or, like you said, a Honda Odyssey or anything in between, there's most likely an online forum or Facebook group out there dedicated to the specific vehicle that you have. And if it's anything from, you know, a small electrical problem straight up to your vehicle won't turn on one morning randomly, I can guarantee you there's other people out there that have had that problem. And thanks to the beauty of the internet, it's easier than ever right now to go out and find those people, find what they had, what they did, what they used to fix it, or maybe some other tips and tricks that may help you with your vehicle. Those forums, those online groups of people who own the same vehicle you do, should definitely be on everybody's list to go and search them out, because they'll find so much valuable resources and stuff that will really help them with the ownership of their vehicle. And all for free, too.
Yeah.
How can you be?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you start this because you wanted to, because you had a GM truck and you're like, hey, there's a whole little truck culture here? Or did you do it because you thought it was a good way to kind of get into business?
I did it mostly. My brother and I basically had a handshake about 20 years ago, exactly 20 years ago, and we had seen that there was no General Motors specific online truck forum. And our basic reasoning was there was many forums out there that dealt with all makes and models, but if you were a GM guy, the Ford people would tell you you made a mistake instead of giving you help and vice versa. So we decided, hey, let's create a forum just for GM truck people. Silverados, Sierras, Colorados, S10s, Blazers, Suburbans, Tahoes. And it just took off. And we do it full time now. We run the website and a couple of other websites full time, trying to help people fix their car problems and make their ownership a little bit easier.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic thing. And you know, 20 years ago, there was barely the internet.
Barely. I remember one of my first industry events telling people, hey, I'm Zane. I run this website called gm-trucks.com. And they would kind of chuckle at me going, oh, website, huh? And it's really interesting to see how over the last 20 years, the philosophy around websites and the value of them has changed dramatically.
Yeah, it really has. One of the reasons I wanted to get you on the program, you and I sort of dip in the same pool of test cars and trucks that we drive, although yes, sometimes you drive different ones than I do just because you're located up in New Hampshire and sometimes the vehicles up there don't make its way down to me and vice versa. Going through your memory banks, were there some certain vehicles that really delighted you or surprised you?
Yeah, you know, specifically, I sat down this morning and tried to think about all the cars. Like, you and me drive about 50 new cars a year. And like you said, we don't drive the same ones, but sometimes we do. And the two that really, really stood out to me this year, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, was the Cadillac CT5 and the Land Rover Defender. Both of them just made a little special place in my heart when I got behind the wheel of them. I really enjoyed both of them. Did you get a chance to drive either of those?
I drove the Cadillac, and I came away really impressed. And to me, it just seemed like if they put 5% more emphasis into it, it would be truly a world-class car. It was just seemed to be missing just a smidge here and there, but performance-wise, comfort-wise, it really, really did a nice job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Defender I haven't driven yet. But, you know, I've been one of those people that have been kind of a closet fan of kind of everything Land Rover, maybe because between Land Rover and Range Rover, I was never going to be able to afford one. But mm-hmm. I certainly looked at their vehicles as, you know, one of those vehicles that you kind of look at it and go, well, there's a vehicle that you could take anywhere in any condition, but it is, and especially if it's a Range Rover, such a luxurious vehicle. And I'm like, I can understand why, you know, people with a lot of money buy these cars, because even though they may never take them off road, they do such a good job in putting the cars together. So again, really, really surprised how much I've grown to like those vehicles from that manufacturer.
And maybe I'm showing my age, but as I grew up, the Land Rover Defender was on TV commercials. I kind of, you know, in my mind, when somebody says Land Rover Defender, I see, you know, people hacking through the Amazon with a line of Land Rovers behind them. So to have that vehicle that was absent from the U.S. market for so many years to come back, be this super luxurious vehicle that looks very unique, very well made craftsmanship wise, at least the materials are all premium and they work really well and everything just kind of flows right. And then add that on top of that, you can basically go anywhere you want in New England with that thing. Just kind of made it like this perfect little package for me. I really enjoyed it. Between the nostalgia, the capability, and the luxury, I feel like Land Rover hit a home run with that thing.
Yeah, they certainly did. And you know, you kind of wonder where they're going to go from here, because they have done so well. And, you know, we have a local dealer who was, I think, one of the first Land Rover dealers in the area. And I remember when they opened up the Land Rover store, they brought us, the PR group brought us up there. And at the time, they had this Land Rover off-road track that was set up around the dealership, and it was they ended up dismantling it over time. But they had somebody who drove. I think it was a kid who borrowed, and the owner of the dealership, Warren, and I were reminiscing about it a couple months ago. And the owner, they were there one day, and a kid borrowed his father's Explorer and drove it over the test track that they had set up at the dealership. And when he was done, I don't think he could open the doors because the body flexed enough where it actually caused some damage to the vehicle. And it wouldn't do that if you drove a Range Rover over it.
That's funny. I can totally see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Now, you know, it seems like, you know, you kind of look around and, you know, there, you know, a lot of the car companies, you know, Ford and Lincoln especially, have gotten out of 90% of this, 95% of the sedan business, and trucks are the big thing. What have you really, I mean, there's been some, you know, crazy trucks out there. The Tremor, the Silverado has a hot truck. What out there in trucks is really kind of lit your fire and said, you know, this is, and I know you recently, what was it, last year did you buy a Silverado?
It's 2 years ago. We got one of the brand new current generation Silverados as a test bed, kind of a truck to test things out on, yes.
And I mean, so what in that truck category has made you go, you know, this is, they did their homework on this one. They know their audience.
Well, I know, you know, as a Silverado owner and a GM truck website, maybe this won't mean much coming from me, but I recently drove a Trail Boss Silverado, or a Silverado Trail Boss Custom. And to have a truck with a 420 horsepower 6.2 liter V6, a 2-inch factory lift, huge knobby tires, right from the dealership, ready to go out and have a great time down any abandoned road in New England you'd want to go on, and have it be priced at just under $40,000, kind of blew my mind that they were able to get to that price point. So you have a full-size truck with super amounts of power, huge tires. I mean, this is like an off-road machine, and it's not very expensive. And that really blew my mind.
Yeah, when you was describing that, and I haven't driven that, and when you were describing that, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's going to be $62,000.
Yeah. And, you know, I have driven the new Ford Tremor, the F-250 Tremor, and those are great vehicles, great off-road, but they're huge. And they're expensive in the $60,000 to $80,000 range, which you know is not necessarily affordable for most people.
I know. You know, it's funny. I was just on your website, and the pop up ad, for whatever reason, and I know ads kind of, you know, cater to where you happen to be, is the all electric Chevy Bolt. Have you driven the new Bolt or the 2020 Bolt at least?
I did, and again, you know, excuse me for being a GM fan, I know, but the Bolt also really impressed me. I don't have an electric charger at my home for vehicles, so I had to plug that thing into a 120-volt outlet. So it took me 3 whole days to charge a Chevy Volt in my garage, which was a little worrisome for me. But after spending a week behind the wheel of it, I was more sold on the idea of an all-electric car than ever before. The performance, the low-end torque, the driving ability of this thing being an electric vehicle blew my mind. You kind of think of high horse or high power vehicles as having gas engines, but, you know, electric vehicles have a lot of low-end torque, and therefore the Bolt was kind of sporty. Surprised me. It drove more like a sports car than you would think like a sedan or electric vehicle, and that really intrigued me. I liked it.
I remember talking to our co-NEMPA member, I guess, is Cliff Atier, and he was like, Chevy Bolt, ugh. And I said, functionally, I said, you like, you know, you like Aston Martins and Jaguars, come on. But I said, functionally, the Bolt is a really nice car. It's, you know, it seats 4 comfortably. You put the rear seat down. It can carry a fair amount of stuff around. And it's got a decent range. When I drove it, the range averaged somewhere when it was fully charged 200 to 240 miles on a full charge. If I drove it aggressively, it dropped down a little bit lower. If I, you know, if it was cold and I had the seat heater and the steering wheel heater on and the climate control system on, it dropped down a little bit more. But I, like you, don't have a home charger, but I found that in my day-to-day driving, even if I was driving 100 miles or so, if I came home, plugged it in to 110 volts, and plugged it in every night, I was getting just about a full charge back on it. And I kind of said to my wife the other day when we were in it, I could see how this could certainly replace the, you know, at least the second car in a lot of households, and maybe even a primary car, depending on where you drive and how you drive. Because I'm like, the, you know, there's plenty of acceleration. I had to merge out onto the highway one day, and traffic was kind of heavy, and I had to kind of zip out there quick. Plenty of performance out of it. I came away really impressed, and I was prepared not to be, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, I agree. My first day sitting in my garage after it was dropped off at my office, I'm plugging it in and seeing it's going to be 3 days until I have a full battery. And I was just not disappointed, but kind of like, oh, man, this is not going to be a fun week with an electric car. But on day seven, I hated to give that thing back because, as you allude to, even people who don't have the faster chargers, it's entirely possible to plug that thing in at night and slowly charge it over the course of the week. And although you may never quite get a full charge, you'll never empty it out completely and be stuck. It'll float around right where you need it. And a long, slow charging regimen works surprisingly pretty well for those things. And, the way that GM is putting these electric vehicles together even prompted me to go out and put a deposit on a new Hummer EV that's supposed to come out next year. So I'll have more to tell you about these electric trucks and electric cars in a couple months, I hope.
Well, the Hummer EV, I had the opportunity to talk to the engineer, and I apologize, I can't think of her name, but she works directly for the chief engineer for the Hummer EV project, and it sounds like a pretty amazing vehicle.
I'm cautiously optimistic. They've put out a lot of numbers. General Motors would like everyone to think that the new Hummer EV is just as exciting as the Tesla Cybertruck and just as capable. Unfortunately, neither of those, the Cybertruck nor the Hummer, are actually drivable, saleable vehicles right now. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But that intrigue of, wow, this sounds really good, I wonder if it's going to be as good as they say, is what kind of prompted me to put that deposit down. I'm really interested, and I can't get past the fact of how electric trucks are coming soon and coming strong, and they're going to be taking the market by storm in the next 5 years, whether or not people like it or not. They're going to be here, and I was really intrigued to see how this first example of what GM's going to put out is going to actually equate to. Is it really going to be as good as they say?
Yeah, and, you know, just this week, Governor Baker in Massachusetts signed into law that, you know, in theory at least, every new vehicle sold in just 15 years will be electric in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So, you know, that's not that far off to come up with something like that. Now, whether... You know, I know from experience that when these things happen, it's like, oh, by the year 2015, every car is going to have to be a, you know, nearly zero emissions vehicle. Well, that didn't quite happen. But the idea that, you know, this could happen in 2035, that every new vehicle sold in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is electric, is pretty interesting to think about. And my boss asked me about electric vehicles one day, and I said to him, you know, I'm not sure if I stole this or not, but I think that in 15 years or so, gasoline vehicles may be as rare as vehicles with a stick shift. What do you think?
I completely agree, and it makes me sad to say that because I feel like right now we're hitting like the crescendo of gas vehicles. We have super efficient gas engines, super powerful gas engines. If you want any kind of vehicle that you want, you can go out and get it right now and get a good example, whether it's high horsepower sports car or high efficiency hybrid or just gasoline powered vehicle. And, you know, I hate to say this to all my enthusiast friends out there, but if there's a gas powered sports car or truck that you really like and you want to keep for a long time, go out and buy it now, because like you said, in a few short years, it's going to be really hard to find those gas powered vehicles like they are today. And I say that, I hope that's not true. I love my big V8 and I love my manual transmission, but I see the writing on the wall, and all these companies are investing so much into electric. It's going to be the future, and it's going to come a lot quicker than we think, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, it's, it is, I mean, for somebody who grew up with, you know, sort of gas in my veins and oil on my hands, it is a little bit of a shock to hear that. But I, you know, the electric vehicles that I've driven and have been in are pretty amazing. And, you know, I owned a very primitive electric car a whole bunch of years ago, and it was awful. And to, you know, compare that to what's available today is just pretty amazing. Before we let you go, you know, there's in every good, there's got to be a little bit of bad. Is there anything that you drove that you said, needs some more work still?
Well, you know, a few weeks ago I had a particular vehicle, and I don't want to rag on the manufacturer too much. I will say what it is, but let me preface before I say what vehicle it is, that this particular car just seemed to miss the mark completely for me. And it's the Toyota Avalon TRD. Now, the Toyota Avalon is a vehicle on its own, very comfortable, very well made. And the TRD brand, when applied to the trucks, is awesome. It's Toyota Racing Division. They allow you to put extra performance accessories on the vehicle, exhaust, intakes, little, styling cues. But I was completely baffled at the, Avalon plus TRD package. It was a extremely sporty, almost racer kind of look for this vehicle that is targeted at full grown adults, and it just did nothing for me. But that's just my personal preference. How about you?
Is it the equivalent of an Impala SS from, you know, when Chevy was building the whale of an Impala with, you know, I think it was, what, 250 horsepower Impala SS? Is it something like that? It tried to be something and it just really isn't?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's when you take a full-size car that is undoubtedly being marketed towards people who don't want something terribly exciting. I mean, I know the Avalon is just not known as the most enthusiastic vehicle in the world.
Toyota Park Avalon.
I mean, it just it didn't excite me for a vehicle that was supposed to be all about excitement. You know, the Impala SS, at least it was about power. They didn't try to make it about luxury or take a vehicle that was marketed towards one group of people and, you know, make some minor adjustments and market it towards another. Where the Avalon, I just don't see where that buyer base is for the Avalon TRD specifically.
Yeah. And maybe that's a little bit of, I'm going to say my fault, but not really. You know, the Toyota Avalon, somebody asked me to describe it once, and I said, you know, and I joked about the Park Avalon, but I also said, you know, if the Avalon was ice cream, it'd be vanilla. It's a nice enough car for somebody who wants it. It's the perfect real estate agent's car. It's the perfect big cruiser. But you're right. To add Toyota Racing to that, I never quite got the idea of adding TRD accessories to a Camry either, but people do it. So, you know, maybe they looked at it and said, hey, you know, maybe we see some inkling of, you know, out at SEMA or something, people doing things to an Avalon, and let's come up with our own model. And in the note that you sent to me this morning, you said something about the Kia Seltos. That was one that I didn't quite get either. And I mean, Kia makes some fantastic vehicles today, but this is one that you're right. It's kind of slots in between the Sportage and the Soul. It doesn't, you know, I don't think it excels at anything. It's not exactly a sports car. It's not exactly a, an SUV. It seemed like they already had the market covered, and they were putting in a vehicle that's going to compete on either end of what they have.
Yeah, I didn't see it distinguished itself very much from the size of vehicles that Kia made already and the types of vehicles. It almost seemed like they just wanted to have one more model in the lineup, so they kind of made something in the middle between two good-selling vehicles, called it a new exciting name, and yeah, it didn't do much for me either. But that said, Kia is, as an overall brand, has come so far in the past, you know, decade. I find it pretty easy to overlook the Seltos in its by itself. I don't want to rag on the Kia brand too much, but that, you're right, that particular vehicle didn't have very good quality interior. It wasn't big. It was just kind of bland. Just another vanilla car.
Yeah. And you look at something like the Telluride, and you go, this was a great vehicle. And and a great vehicle at, even fully loaded, at a really good price.
The Telluride is amazing. They jumped into the bigger size SUV market with a huge splash, and they kind of carried a lot of that momentum that they've been building over the last decade and made a vehicle that is, you know, all of the best things that Kia has done in the last 10 years, they put in that Telluride, from styling to features to quality of materials and ride and handling. And I've seen a ton of them on the road right now. They must be selling fairly well for Kia.
You would think so. Hey, before we let you go, I have one question. Your son is how old now?
4.
And so did Santa bring him and you something that you could play with together?
He loves heavy equipment and ride on toys. So he got a few diggers, ride on diggers this year, and trucks, and we didn't really get anything we could play with together other than just some toys, unfortunately.
All right. You know, because that's one of the, you know, that, you know, your son being that age, that's where you can kind of sit down together and, you know, and probably have a little bit of fun, I would think. So,
he loves hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Polaris General that we ride in together. He wears a helmet and car seat, and we like to blast around. He begs to ride in that thing together all the time.
See, there you go. Hey, Zane, one more time, how do people find the website?
You can go online and type in GM-trucks or GM-trucks.com, or you can search for Merva Brothers online or Zane Merva, and you can find some of our other stuff, including our YouTube channel and Facebook. We've got a couple different Facebook groups, but if you go to GM-trucks.com, you'll find all that information to check us out.
Zane, thank you for taking your time out of the very first Saturday morning of 2021, and may the I read this somewhere over the weekend, may the best day of 2020 be the worst day of 2021. So my New Year's wish. So there you go, Zane. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. All right, take care.
Thanks a lot, John Paul. I appreciate it. You too. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. We need to take a break, pay some bills. We're running a little bit late, but why don't we do that? My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 800-370-1049.
If it's local you want, it's local we have. Your local connection, North Shore 104.9. Hi, it's Hank Morse. Join me weekday morning. We'll have local news, entertainment, music to get you going, and lots of laughs. Laugh and learn weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on your local connection, North Shore 104.9.
Walls Ford in nearby Salisbury is your North Shore destination for the best Ford service. Here's John Wall.
That's right. Walls Ford is just a short drive away for award-winning parts and service. We make it easy. Schedule your service appointment online at wallsford.com or just give us a call.
Now serving the entire Seacoast and the North Shore, Walls Ford in nearby Salisbury. Seconds from 495 and I-95 and at wallsford.com.
The place with the big American flag.
Seacoast Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Gloucester, a five-star rated center adjacent to Addison Gilbert Hospital, offers 142 beds for short-term rehabilitation and long-term skilled nursing care. Managed by the Bain Care family, Seacoast provides personalized, high-quality medical care in a welcoming, warm, and safe environment. Seacoast's first-class rehab services are offered 7 days a week for speedy recovery. With Bain Care, it's a matter of trust. Learn more at BainCare.com.
Hi, I'm Patrice. Adult Foster Care of the North Shore helps me care for my daughter, Felicia, in my home. They provide me with a nurse and a care manager who understands my daughter's medical needs. Plus, I receive monthly compensation for her care through MassHealth. Felicia is so happy and thrives while living at my home. I recommend Adult Foster Care of the North Shore to anyone who may be in a similar situation.
If you're in a similar situation with limited resources, call Adult Foster Care of the North Shore at 978-281-2612 or visit adultfostercarens.com.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program. If you want to join us, 800-370-1049. If you have a question about your car or have a car problem, you can give us a call, 800-370-1049. And since we were talking about the Chevrolet Bolt, I thought I would talk about it and kind of compare it to the upcoming 2021. I haven't driven the 2021 yet, but I have driven the 2020 version. And the Chevrolet Bolt, just to not confuse everybody, Bolt, Volt, you know, which are they? Well, the Bolt. The Bolt is an all-electric, powered, compact, hatchback kind of wagony sort of vehicle. It's available in two trim levels, the LT and the Premier. The Bolt has improved its mileage since it first came out a couple of years ago. And now it's capable of up to 259 miles between charges. Now, of course, that's under ideal conditions because temperature, both hot and cold, can affect electric vehicle mileage. Accessory use, heater, air conditioner can affect mileage use. And how enthusiastically you drive it can affect mileage use. So, but when I've driven it, it's been generally no less than 200 miles between charges. And the extra range doesn't really come at expensive power. It's a 200 horsepower engine. But it's instantaneous torque. So when you floor the accelerator, it zips right along. 0 to 60 is claimed in about 6.5 seconds, which is pretty fast. I mean, that's, let's get down to it. That's pretty fast. The Premier version is what I drove. That was, had heated seats, heated steering wheel, Bose sound system. Safety is addressed with, a bunch of airbags, 10 airbags, surround view camera, rear view camera. The rear view camera displays the entire space behind the vehicle on the 2020 version on the mirror. So you have this, what looks like a day-night mirror, and when you flip it to the night setting, it's actually the camera behind you, showing you the camera behind you. So if you have adults sitting in the back seat and you can't quite see out the rearview mirror, you flip that on, and all of a sudden, boom, you're able to see. Rear park assist, it's got all the usual safety features, lane departure warning, forward collision alert, and so forth. There are several all-electric, battery-electric vehicles on the market today, but the Bolt is, I was really impressed with it. The ride's comfortable. It's not jarring. I took it out just yesterday. Took it for a ride down towards the Rhode Island border, just basically wanted to get out of the house for a ride, and it performed extremely well, comfortable to drive in. I've been promised it in 2021. They've changed a few things. They've been told that the seats are going to get a little bit more comfortable. 2020 version. The seats are okay, but going to be a little bit nicer. And I've also heard that the materials inside maybe are getting a little bit nicer, but still pretty good. There's pretty good storage all around the inside of it. With all the seats in use, there's about 17 cubic feet of cargo space. With the rear seats folded, it expands to 56 cubic feet. So for someone looking to replace a small SUV, I think this could do it and do it pretty well. I had to carry a little piece of furniture with me on last week, and folded the rear seat down, slid it right in the back. It was fine. It was fine. So it worked out. It worked out really well. As with any electric vehicle, you got to give it a little bit of thought about charging. My first trip, I think, was 50 or 60 miles. At that time, it showed I had a 251-mile range. After about 50 miles, it still showed it had about a 220-mile range, so it didn't drop down. I only have 110-volt, like Zane and I were talking, I only have a 110-volt outlet that I could charge it up to. I suppose I could figure a way to run an outlet from my dryer, but I'm not going to do that. Which is kind of funny. I remember, might have been Cliff Atiyah or somebody, when the first electric car that they ever drove, the manufacturer came in and like hooked up a 240-volt outlet to their electrical panel and ran it outside so they could charge quicker. But, you know, if you have 120 volts, if you have a plug in your garage or outside by the corner of your house or something, and depending on how you drive this, if you drive it and consume 200 miles of battery power every day, a 110-volt outlet isn't going to do it. But if you're somebody who commutes, the average commute now is about 30 miles round trip. If you're somebody who does that and does some errands and things in between, you can charge with a 120-volt convenience outlet and do it pretty easily. You run it down to zero. It's going to take a couple days. Like Zane said, it's going to take a couple days to fully charge. But if you're somebody who's just driving regularly, plug it in, charge it up every day. And if you say, hey, you know, I got to charge my car every day. Chances are you plug your cell phone in every day. If you have a tablet, chances are you plug that in every day. If you have a laptop computer, chances are that's plugged in either all the time or at least every day to make sure the battery's charged when you need it. So it's just one more thing to plug in and charge up. So it really isn't, once you get used to it, and if you're fortunate enough to have a garage, even better, because then you're plugging in, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting wet while you're doing that. So you're, although, you know, I've been doing it, you know, this week, you know, I take the car out for a ride. I have a cord kind of by the, you know, plugged in by the corner of the house. I pull the car up, pop open the little door that looks like where you think you'd put gasoline. In there is both a level 1, 2, and 3 charging plugs. So if you do go someplace where there's level 3, the high speed DC voltage charge, where you can charge about, I think about 80% charge in an hour or so. It has that availability too, but if you're charging it typical, what you'll see around municipalities and shopping malls and things like that, level 2 charging makes it nice and easy, not that difficult. And at AAA, we have a charging station there, which I have used before. But they're, you know, whether it's, ChargePoint, which I have a app on my phone tied to a credit card. So if it's a fee based charging system, it just debits my credit card, or EVgo, which is the other popular one. Both work well. You're starting to see the charging stations kind of all over the place. I went through, I think it was Bridgewater the other day. I went by, I think it might have been a credit union or something. They had, I don't know, 8 or 10 charging stations out front. So they had plenty of charging stations. They were able to accommodate plenty of people. So far, I have only seen 1 or 2 people charging. And same thing, I think I went by the town hall or something, and they had the same thing. They had a couple up front as well. So, you know, you're finding charging a little bit easier. And the other thing about charging stations is they're typically closer to where you want to park. So you don't have to walk as far. You plug in your car and, you know, if you ever go anywhere, which I never seem to, the only place I go now is just out for a ride to, evaluate the car that I'm driving, and, you know, occasionally to Home Depot or Lowe's or the hardware store or something like that. But that seems to be about all that I do. So, doesn't seem to be much more about that. So, you know, hopefully those things will change as we, you know, move further ahead here. When we come back, I want to talk about a electric vehicle, another electric vehicle called the, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Biff, I need your phonetic skill here. How would you pronounce Zoox?
I'm not sure, John. I'm gonna bounce that back to you.
It's a Zoox. That's what it is. It's a Zoox. It's the all new Zoox. Yeah,
okay.
We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Toyota's working on. You know, they've looked at electrics, but they haven't looked at electrics. I mean, they have. You know, Toyota's built the hybrid forever, and they have an electric car, the Mirai. But they seem to be focusing more on. Hydrogen, which I think has some real positive benefits as well. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And, of course, I'd like to talk to you on this very first Saturday of 2021. And our phone number is 800-370-1049 if you would like to join us, 800-370-1049. I'd rather talk to you than talk to myself. But I always want to talk to Biff, too, because, you know, he brings a new depth into the Car Doctor program.
Often talking to Biff is very similar to talking to yourself.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And we'll also, can you believe that Christian Chevrolet went away last year? They were located in Highland, Indiana, and they always put up a 20-foot fiberglass Santa for years, and it even started a tradition of Christmas and July sales. But they sold the dealership to a company called Garber Automotive Group, and the new owner wanted to buy Santa too, but the Christiansens held on to it as a memento of their longtime business. People were interested in what happened, and they were upset. And the general manager of the store called Garber Chevrolet Highland, told the local newspaper, "I figured it was my civic duty to bring Santa back." And that's exactly what they did. Now they have a statue, which weighs more than a ton. It had to be shipped in three pieces, fit on a truck, and it's back at the dealership. And it's kind of funny how people get used to seeing things. You know, I guess it's not any different than where did the cows go at the steakhouse, or, you know, something like that. So people get real used to that. But the idea that people went on Facebook and said, "Where'd Santa go? We want Santa back in our town," and there you go, and they got Santa back. So it was their civic duty to bring Santa back. So there we go. Why don't we take another break? My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. If you'd like to join us, phone lines are open at 800-370-1049.
I said no more slipping and dogging around. Whoa, no more slipping and dogging around. Take your baby, you know the work you have. Watch. Loud like a car, get your way, take a chance. Loud like a car, get your way, take a chance. You never get a loving and baby, never found a man. Watch.
Catch the latest Ski Report weekday mornings at 9:50 and weekday afternoons at 12:50. Brought to you by Acura of Peabody, where they're not a dealership, but a relationship.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Did you know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States? And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, you should see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows, which can add considerable value to any home. See the Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up. Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Rosenthal. Here is your North Shore 104.9 forecast serving the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. For today, any rain will end this morning. The skies turn partly cloudy. It's breezy. Really not cold for January. Temps in low and mid-40s. Clear and colder overnight. Lows in the 20s. Tomorrow, some early sun, the decreasing clouds. It'll be near 40. There is a chance of some wet snow moving in tomorrow night and Monday, really depending on how close the storm gets in the ocean. But the jury is still out. A very tough forecast. You need to stay tuned with the forecast. Being brought to you by the Berry Tavern in Danvers. The Berry Tavern is open every day for lunch and dinner. The Berry Tavern offers takeout, ordering, curbside pickup, takeout, and delivery. Call 978-777-2377. For local North Shore, 1049, I'm Mark Rosenthal.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program. Our phone number is 800-370-1049. 800-370-1049 is how you get through and chat with us about your car problems, bringing Santa back to the car dealership, or if we have time a little bit later, Biff, do you watch Saturday Night Live?
Not for quite a while. I'm too old now, John. I can't stay up that late.
Yeah, I don't either. But apparently, Saturday Night Live took a shot at the Lexus commercial where, you know, the person gets a Lexus for Christmas. And well, if we have time, we'll talk about that in a little bit and see what people thought about that. But right now, let's talk to Paul in Somerville. Paul, good morning.
Happy New Year. I got a quick question. About electric vehicles. My son just bought a Tesla, 2020 Tesla Model Y, and he's been a AAA member since he got his license 5 or 6 years ago. I'm trying to find out now if that car breaks down, other than towing, is AAA gearing up to do anything on road service for to deal with the electric cars that are starting to show up on the highways?
About 3 or maybe 4 years ago, we kind of across the country put together a small fleet of pickup trucks with high power generators in the back. So we could pull up to an electric car, start up the generator, plug it in, and the problem is with a generator, you sit there for 45 minutes, even at 240 volts. You're not putting a lot of electricity back into the battery. We have recently contacted a company in, I think they're in Cambridge, and they have it's like a electric battery cell that they claim that they can charge up an electric vehicle to like 50% capacity in like 20 minutes with this sort of electric storage device. So we're certainly looking into it. Right now, the most we can do is, it'd be the equivalent of you ran out of gas and we'll tow you to a gas station kind of thing. If you ran out of electricity, we'll tow you to the nearest charging station or tow you home if that's what you want to do. We don't, it's kind of funny. Most electric vehicles, the ones that we have towed, because I get to see the breakdown things, very seldomly do people with electric cars run out of electricity. It's usually some mechanical failure, a flat tire or something like that. So people with electric cars do a whole lot better job of watching the battery gauge than people with gasoline cars do watching the gas gauge. But we are certainly looking into it. We are looking at the latest technology. The problem is the technology just isn't practical, rather than sit there with someone and, tell stories for, 60 minutes waiting for another, 15 miles of charge to get into the battery, isn't that practical at this point? We'd rather just say, hey, how about if we tow you to a charging station or we tow you home?
Yeah, I can understand that. I would assume that if there was some kind of a mobile charger, that you probably would only charge it enough to get it to the nearest charger. I know on his screen, he can just push a button and it shows him where all the charging stations are. We do have a charger here at home and it does charge up pretty fast on 220.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful cars, and lots of power.
Yeah. They're amazing cars, and I think the Model Y, just because of practicality. I mean, it's got a nice roomy back seat. It's a nice car. They did a good job with it. It's all wheel drive, and I mean, it's just a good car. And you're right. Even AAA's website, our map. You know, if you do a triptych, an electronic triptych, with AAA's website, even on the website, it tells you where the electric charging stations are. So just like it says gas stations, it'll also say electric charging stations. So, you know, we're there. We haven't found the good answer yet, but I think the good answer might be having, you know, this equivalent of a DC charging station, which is, you know, DC voltage, you know, 440 volts kind of thing. But if you can put it into a storage device where you can, you know, kind of almost like bringing a gallon of gas sort of thing, and you bring it in, you hook it up, you wait, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, the car's got a good charge now, and you go away and you go back to the shop afterwards at some point, you swap out that one for a fully charged one, and you're good to go again. That might be the future. We're looking into it. You know, we want to be there for it. Absolutely.
That's interesting. I could imagine that the only thing that they would do if they were able to charge you up was give you enough to get you to the nearest charging station. I couldn't see them, you know, charging it to 50%.
Yeah, well, I mean, similar, and it's going to be how frequent these charging stations are, because, you know, right now we can come out, we can put a gallon or two of gas in your car. That's going to get you, you know, 20, 30 miles, and chances are you're going to find a gas station in 20 or 30 miles. You might not find a charging station in 20 or 30 miles. So, you know, we want to make sure we don't cause a second breakdown. So, you know, we want to be, you know, thoughtful and considerate when we do it. So we want to do the right thing. So absolutely. But yeah, we have it on our radar. No doubt about it.
Well, that's good to know. I'll let them know that, because we were talking about that. We went out to Winchendon last week and we're saying, no, what happens if you break down? And he said I could call Tesla. I said, you know, a lot easier just to call AAA.
Yeah. But, no, we certainly tow some electric cars, but like I said, most of them aren't running out of electricity. Most of them are, you know, it gets a flat tire or, you know, something happens with the driveline. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did they have to be ramp towed, or can they just go in a regular tow?
We usually send a ramp truck for most of them. You know, if it's a two-wheel drive one, different story, but you know, so many of the Model S's were the dual motors, the Model 3, a lot of them, especially here in New England, were dual motors, and of course all the Model Ys, so for the most part we always send a ramp truck.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I didn't know if because of the way the drivetrain is, whether or not it had to be ramped.
Yeah, I think we do it out of a, you know, I hate to use the word because it's overused these days, an abundance of caution. So.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Okay.
All right, John.
We'll All right. Take care, Paul.
About
be well.
Come and talk
Happy
to
New
you
Year.
Group.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Whenever you want.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, I think we need to take another break. Steve, if you're still there, stay there. We will be with you in just about 2 minutes. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. We'll be right back.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the dude of man together.
Walls Ford in nearby Salisbury is your North Shore destination for a new Ford truck. Here's John Wall.
Walls Ford is just a short drive away for big discounts, low lease payments, and 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on every new Ford and pre-owned vehicle. Check us out online at wallsford.com or just give us a call.
Now serving the entire seacoast and the North Shore, Walls Ford in nearby Salisbury. Seconds from 495 and I-95 and at wallsford.com on approved credit.
The place with the big American flag.
New year, new you. The Beverly Athletic Club has a program for that. The Beverly Athletic Club has what you need. Check out Soul Healthcare, offering a full-service comprehensive wellness program featuring nutrition, fitness, movement, and balance services. staffed by professionals and covered by most health insurance programs. This evidence-based, goal-oriented program is just one of the many offerings you'll find at the Beverly Athletic Club. Find out more, make an appointment, or sign up at beverlyathletic.com. Beverly Athletic Club, your community, your club.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program. Let's talk to Steve. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, John. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year as well.
Thank you very much. I just had a brief question regarding synthetic fuel. I've heard you talk about it for many years, and I'm still using the dinosaur oil, unfortunately. But I have a 2017 Ford Taurus, about 40,000 miles on it, and I only drive possibly 7,000 miles a year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm getting the oil changed probably, and I'm probably doing it too many times, like twice a year. So I'm wondering if I went to the synthetic, would the added cost, you know, extend me like into a year and a half or something like that?
No, I mean, I still, you know, I think as a bare minimum, no matter what kind of car it is, you still want to change the oil once a year.
Okay.
And sometimes even a little bit, you know, a little bit more often than that. If the manufacturer says, for instance, that, you know, oil changes should be done every 6 months. So okay. It really depends on kind of what the vehicle. Now, if you were able to look at the oil and test it every 6 months and say, hey, look, you know, it's, you know, I had the oil analyzed and it's as good as it was 4 months ago. There's no contamination. I can go longer and longer. But, you know, by the time you're going to do that, you're going to spend the money. You might as well change the oil. But, yeah, on your Taurus, it says change the oil every 7,500 miles. So yeah, exactly. If you said to me, you know, it doesn't say 7,500 miles or 6 months. It just says 7,500 miles. So if you were using synthetic oil and changing it once a year, you know, and you're only driving 7,000 miles a year, I think you'd be well within the warranty to say, hey, you're the guys who said change it every 7,500. That's what I'm doing. And the synthetic oil will protect the engine a little bit better. It's a little, but it doesn't mean the oil doesn't burn. So it is entirely possible you can use a little bit of oil. No different than the dinosaur oil that you're using now. You can have a little bit of oil consumption. And what happens sometimes with people, they get a little lax in checking it. They're like, hey, you know, I change the oil once a year with synthetic oil. And, you know, if even a good car might use a quart of oil in, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 miles, all of a sudden by the time you get the oil changed, there's only three quarts of oil in there. And at that point, you can start to get to the point where you may be causing a little wear and tear. Minimally, you're going to be causing a little extra engine heat. So, you know, if you are going to try to stretch it out a year, it's still make sure you open the hood every once in a while and, you know, pull the dipstick and check it, make sure it's full.
Oh, I try to do that at least once a month, absolutely.
Well, that's the way it should be. But yeah, my own car, for instance, it says change the oil every 7,500 or 6 months. And I'll be honest, you know, especially with COVID, you know, I'm not driving as much as I used to. So, you know, have I been a little bit longer than 6 months? Yeah, I have. But, you know, the oil's been just sitting there mostly. And, you know, I have stretched it out a little bit longer. The Volkswagens that we have in the family, they're once a year every 10,000 miles. And, you know, that's what we'll do on them. And your Taurus, like I said, it's, you know, 7,500. And I think Ford specifies synthetic blend. And
right,
if you wanted
exactly.
to step up to full synthetic, you could do that. If you wanted to leave the synthetic, if you wanted to stay with synthetic blend, which is, you know, kind of that combination of, you know, both of the oils together. So it all kind of works out. So.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get your opinion.
All right.
I appreciate your advice and obviously have a pleasant remainder of the day.
You as well and Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you. Same to you, John.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, we are starting to run out of time. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Saturday Night Live thing, though. It is, you've seen the Lexus commercial where the person buys the Lexus for the person, but in the Saturday Night Live skit,
took aim at the Christmas time campaign with a parody showing a family argument. A husband, Nathan, played by Beck Bennett, surprised his wife, played by Heidi Gardner, with a RX in the driveway. And she says, "Did you seriously buy a car without asking me?" Nathan said, the wife exclaims, "This is a major purchase." "Right, but it was December to remember," Nathan replies confidently. "It's a Lexus. We don't have money for this," she continues, before breaking the news to their son that Nathan lost his job 2 years ago. The scene escalates after Nathan reveals that he thought the down payment was actually the full price. Gardner explains that there's a monthly payment, too. And he says, "Yeah, but that's 0% APR." "I think it's all good," Nathan says. "APR," she interjects, "you mean APR." And he says, "I'm pretty sure it's APR." And the commercial ends with the tagline, "Give the gift of Lexus, but definitely talk it over first." Lexus seems to have taken the satire in good humor. It says here in the article, at least publicly, a few days later after the show aired, the brand's YouTube account added this comment to the Saturday Night Live clip. "She's right, Nathan. It's pronounced APR," another commenter said, as a former Lexus technician. "Yeah, you really need to do this stuff first to explain it all." Hey, is our buddy Joe Piantedosi in the studio?
He is. He is.
Can we say hello and Happy New Year?
Good morning, John. Nice to be on. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you as well.
I loved your line about, "May the worst day of 2020 be the best day." No. "May the worst day of 21 be the best day of 2020. That's what you said earlier today, and I'm all for that. That sounds great. What great advice to give people and great message to send.
I think it may have it may have come from some Irish saying or something. I don't know. I'm sure I stole it from somewhere. But, anyway. So what do you got going on for the very first Saturday of the new year?
Well, it's kind of funny because I have a medium psychic on this. Again, I think back to Regis. He always gave me advice. We've just filmed for years on his shows, and he always, at the beginning of the year, had a psychic medium just to announce some predictions for the year. And I thought, what better way to start the year with than that? So that'll be my first guest. Mary Dalber is her name, and she's a psychic medium, interesting person, and she'll come on and there. And then I have Grace Curley, and Grace Curley started with Howie Carr back a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's a sweetheart. She is young, just a real go-getter. I'm very impressed with her. And she's been on our show before, if you can recall that.
Yep.
And she is going to start her own show on WRKO Monday, produced by Howie Carr. It's going to be a lead-in to Howie from noon to 3, Monday through Friday. So she's going to talk about her new show, so that'll be great. And I have a line, too, by the way, that I just thought of. A lot of people had texted me over the New Year, weekend, and I came out with this. And I just said, you know what? This is what I came up with. I have to stop and think about the exact word, but here's to a speedy return to normalcy for 2021. So that's what I want, a speedy return to normalcy, which I hope it's going to happen. Everyone is geared up for something, so let's just hope it's quick and normal fast.
Can't ask for more than that. And if you can get like a lucky lottery number from the medium, that would be great. We can maybe share that.
It's funny. Jay Mullen requested that, one of our longtime listeners. And John, I want to thank you for all these lead-ins, but this is our last Saturday show for a while because the Pats end their season tomorrow.
Oh.
So I won't be following you for a while, but I will be listening, and I'd love to have you back on my show. And anytime you'd like to have me on, I'd be more than happy to come on your show as well. So
sounds like fun. I always enjoy this little part. So,
I do too.
Yeah, Joe, as you know, have a happy new year, and like you said, a speedy return to normalcy is what we can ask for. And I just want to say to our listeners the same thing. And of course, as always, wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car, take care of everyone. Happy new year, and talk to you all next week. Bye bye.